Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by IHOP. Tonight, ESPN Hockey Night is in Dallas for the Wild and Stars at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Our ABC Saturday hockey matinee has the Blues hosting the Wild at 3 Eastern, 2 Central. And Sunday afternoon, the Panthers take on the Red Wings, 1 Eastern on ESPN. All three games also available on the ESPN app. So, it's great to see you today. Diana Russini here with me. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. A lot going on in football and in the NBA. So, Chrissy, let's get right to it and get up with the battle of Beantown. KD and the Nets can score, but can they come close to slowing down Jason Tatum? We'll talk about that. And then there's Baker Mayfield. Not only does he want out of Cleveland, he seems to want an apology. Did the Browns do their soon-to-be former quarterback wrong? And what? Be wary? Well, despite James Harden's spotty playoff history, why the Sixers star is pretty chill right now, and is he right to be? All that and a lot more coming up on another hour of Get Up. We'll get to all of it today, but first we get to the blowout of the night. Hawks taking on the Hornets. Play-in game. Winner faces the Cavs. Taking to the first quarter. Game tied at 10. Trae Young throwing it up. Clint Capella throwing it down. And they got started early. Atlanta fired up. They would lead by 9 after the first quarter. Then, in the second, Danilo Gallinari with the slam. They were going off early on, up by 8 at the break. But in the third quarter, Atlanta putting on a show. Here's Trae Young. Tim Legler, what's he doing there?
It's late five. Gymnastics. Look how long he hangs in the air. He's so patient, scanning the floor with his eyes. The great delivery, and then here he finally gets a switch and gets one to go. A rough shooting night early for Trae Young, but still dominated the game with his playmaking.
Up by 26 after three quarters, under 7 to play in the fourth. Charlotte down big. Look at that. Miles Bridges loses the ball. Young dives for it, gets it to DeAndre Hunter, who gets up, gets the basket, and gets the foul. Now, there was a goaltending call there. Bridges, not happy about the call, charges the ref, gets ejected, needs to be held back by coaches and players. And all the way out, fans waving goodbye, and he throws his mouthpiece, hits a Hawks fan. Atlanta wins big, 132-103. By the way, Bridges apologized and said he wanted to reach out to that fan and give them a gift. So he's trying to make amends there. The Hawks survived to play another day, and they're now going to face the Cavs on Friday for the right to make the bracket and play the top-seeded Miami Heat. The Brooklyn Nets already won their play-in game on Tuesday, and officially will play the Celtics starting in Boston on Sunday. And that's where we want to start, with the Nets, because Brian Windhorst now with us. And Wendy, you have some big news on the Ben Simmons front.
Yeah, I can't even believe it, to be honest with you, Ryan, but I am told that they are targeting games 4, 5, or 6 of this upcoming series against the Celtics for a Ben Simmons debut with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, as soon as I heard that, I said, is he even playing 5-on-5 yet? The answer is no, but they're hoping to ramp him up in the next few days, and if there's no setbacks, they are expecting that Ben Simmons will be available at some point in this series.
Like, what do you make of that? I mean, he hasn't played in almost a year, and they're going to throw him in this series.
Yeah, you inject him in the middle of the most pressure-packed games, when the games are most physical, most at stake, most scrutiny, for sure. But look, he is a guy that doesn't need to find offensive rhythm, and that's why this something like this could be possible. You're not worried about a guy that's going to ISO a lot. He's not a high-volume shot taker. He won't dominate the ball. He can make plays in the open floor, but for the most part, you know, he'll be off the ball in their offense. His real impact comes on the other end. You're talking about injecting one of the top defensive players in the league at 6'10 to have to guard long wings like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown potentially in this series. That's where his true benefit comes. But it is amazing, because you think a guy that hit, last time we saw Ben Simmons was a complete meltdown against the Atlanta Hawks offensively in that series as a one seed in Philadelphia. And we've been waiting ever since to see him make a reemergence. I expected it to be next year, like most people. So this is pretty incredible news. And he can have an impact in this series and then going forward if they're able to advance.
Okay, because that's interesting because, Wendy, I look at it also this way. We talked about what happened last year, the mental health struggles he had been through since then, and now you're putting him in with a team that he's never played for after he hasn't been on the court for almost a year, and you're asking him, get in there, make an impact, and stop one of the most powerful offenses and powerful offensive players in Jason Tatum. Are they setting him up to fail?
You know, Ryan, it really depends on, you know, what their role is. You know, I don't think he's going to be able to physically play a lot of minutes. And when you look at the Nets, what's holding them back to really being a serious contender, in my view, is they're a bottom 10 defensive team. And even against the Cavs in the play-in game the other night, Kyrie was as hot as you could ever see a player. Durant was hitting shots, and it was a six-point game with a few minutes to go because they can't get stops consistently. So you get him to play a handful of minutes, get a handful more stops, it really could shift the balance of a power in a series. And I will just say this. I have been hearing nothing but pessimism about Ben Simmons' availability now for 2 months, ever since shortly after the trade. This is the first time I'm hearing optimism, and I think that's notable.
Wow, that is, because all of his pessimism, all of us thought he wouldn't play, and now it looks like he could be in as soon as game four. So, Legs, I know you had the Celtics win in this series. Does this change that? Because Wendy's talking about the balance of power could shift.
No, not for me. I don't think it shifts it enough because I just don't see him playing enough minutes to sway the series. You know, he can have moments where he guards guys effectively. I think offensively he's going to be a liability. And if I'm Ime Udoka and Ben Simmons is on the court and they're anywhere near the penalty, guess what? He's taking a parade to the foul line because he hasn't played in 10 months. It's a weakness in his game. He's got confidence issues as it is. Now, I'm not saying you start fouling guys because now you can't guard Kevin Durant and Kyrie either. I'm saying, though, if he's on the floor and you get to that fourth foul, that fifth foul in a quarter, I am doing nothing but sending Ben Simmons to the foul line because it takes the ball out of Kyrie's hands and KD's hands and disrupts the flow of their offense by putting a guy that hasn't played in 10 months and already struggles from that line. So it'd be an interesting dynamic in terms of the strategy involved. I don't think it sways it enough for me. I'm not forgetting what Boston has done. 26-6 in their last 32. Top defensive team in the league for 2 months. And Tatum and Brown rolling together at the same time like they have never at any time.
Putting him on that line sets up a replay of what we saw last year. That's what makes this a must-watch series. Will he deliver in that moment? We shall see. But let's move on to football. Baker Mayfield broken his silence for the first time since the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson. Now, Mayfield spoke on the end of the YNK podcast on his strained relationship with the team. Take a listen to this.
I feel disrespected 100% because I was told one thing and they completely did another. When I wasn't performing on the field, that's when it really started going downhill. Then when it started hindering my play, and that's when I started losing my own self-confidence and just losing myself. This past year was rough. I would love to show up at somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And see, and watch them crumble.
Do you have any idea where you're going to land?
Oh, man. If this would have been about a week and a half ago, I would have said Indianapolis. Seattle, I mean, it would probably be the most likely option. Mm-hmm. But even then, I'm ready for the next chapter.
Okay, and by the way, this just in, I'm just hearing from our producers that the dog is in fact okay, even though he basically flipped over and didn't move after a while.
I'm sure the Browns fans wish that Baker was a little bit more like the dog and just kept quiet, you know?
Ouch. Oh, Woody, what do you make of what Baker's saying about how he feels disrespected by the Browns?
Yeah, listen, man, I think Baker Mayfield, you know, doesn't have an idea how the league works. You know, when you come into the league is always trying to replace you. And even Baker Mayfield spoke on it in the podcast how, you know, he was up and down. Well, guess what? You know, at that point, the Cleveland Browns were probably thinking, listen, if we're going to – we've built this roster, what they consider a roster they can win a championship with. Do we have the quarterback that can take us over the top? And they felt like, no. We don't have the quarterback to take us over the top. So what do we have to do? We got to go out there and upgrade the position. That's just how the league works. That's just the business of the National Football League. I've been through it. Most former players have been through it. And that's just what it is. I remember, you know, during my time in New England, Drew Bledsoe signed a $100 million deal. He gets hurt. Tom Brady comes in. He never gets his job back. These are the type of things that happen in the National Football League.
Lewis, do you agree?
I agree with the fact that the NFL is a replacement business. I mean, that's what their job is as far as a football operation personnel department is concerned. Their job is to replace you. Their job is to continually upgrade the roster and continue to look for ways to make the team better. I think in this case, though, Baker's talking about something different. Baker's talking about the fact that he played hurt. He played, during the season in a physical condition that was not going to lead to him playing at his very best. How could he? How could he when he had his left arm strapped down to his body and had that shoulder harness on, couldn't rotate his upper body the way he normally does in order to throw the football with accuracy? How could it be anything other than a subpar performance given everything that he was going through? And I'm sure the team was encouraging him to try and fight through it because he gave them the best chance to win, because he was the number one overall draft pick, because he is someone who was considered at that point to be a franchise type of quarterback. I think what Baker's alluding to is something that maybe is not public right now, is the fact that maybe they then turned around and used his lack of performance, given the fact that he was playing hurt, against him, and wasn't necessarily upfront with him about the fact that they were going to be as in on the Deshaun Watson deal as they were. And then we're going to give him the kind of contract that had us all sitting here shaking our head going, what the heck is going on here? I think that's what he's alluding to. Not that he is, unaware of how the business of football works, but the fact that maybe he was being encouraged to do one thing, it affected his performance, then his performance is held against him, and he's kept in the dark about them moving in a totally different direction, which I think would tick any of us off if we were put in that same situation.
I'm so glad Lewis explains it, because you look at it that way and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's also life. Right? I feel like in every business you do with this, you have to perform to a certain level. But if someone is that much better than you, you're going to be replaced. It doesn't matter what you do. And I think for Baker, I think where it's difficult right now to have the empathy is, I don't know how much we like to hear any quarterback or any player complain or reflect. And sometimes I think when you hear this, you think, man, just be quiet. We saw the IG message. Now you're doing this interview. We weren't even talking about you, Baker. We were kind of hoping that you were going to sit quiet and maybe pull a Ryan Tannehill, get picked up somewhere else, become a backup quarterback, and win that starting job over. I think there's a lot of people in the NFL that root for Baker Mayfield. He's got something about him that's really special. If you've been around him, you know what I'm talking about. And I think even as a fan, you've seen it on Sunday. You've seen he's got some magic to him. When I talk to defensive coordinators around the league before they would play the Cleveland Browns week to week, they never overlooked Baker Mayfield. Yeah, he's got some of his weaknesses there, but they know he can play. And I still think Baker Mayfield can play. I just don't think he's going to be a starter next year for the fact that the quarterback carousel musical chair basically has ended at this point. But I think it's just really difficult to swallow today listening to him talk about it, because I just think fans don't want to hear it.
You make a great point. I have to say, Lewis, when I heard these comments, the first thing I thought was less about his words, more about I wanted to also be in his agent's ear and say, I hope these guys are telling him, don't say anything, Baker. You only tank your value and affect how people see you when you talk. So you're a GM. If you're running a team, Lewis, do you bring in Baker to be a starter, to be on your team, knowing that this is how he reacts to the adversity that he's facing?
You know, the one thing that we don't do a good enough job of is really recognizing that these guys are human beings. That they're individuals and that they have feelings and that they have personalities and that they're constantly a work in progress. So to answer your question, Ryan, would I bring him in? Yeah. Would I want to talk to him about some of the ways in which he has handled his business before that is not necessarily, of the caliber and in the way that maybe he should have handled it? Yeah, I would want to talk to him about that. I want to see if he had learned anything about it. I would see if he was willing to change the way in which he conducts himself, the way in which he goes on podcasts and talks about things that maybe he should just be quiet about. Yeah, I would probably go ahead and advise him to talk less and do more. Yeah, I would. But at the same time, I think one of the things that we need to do, and that be whether it be when we're talking about the game or even internally, at the different clubs, is understand that, look, these guys are human beings, man. These are guys with tremendous egos who've had tremendous amounts of success in their past. And when things don't go well for them, they react emotionally sometimes. And sometimes you have to kind of give them the space to do that while continuing to coach them and allowing them to grow and help them to grow. And I think with Baker, it's the same kind of situation. We know Deshaun Watson's better than him. No kidding. We all can see that. But there's also a way to go ahead and communicate to him the fact that, hey, guess what, man? We may be moving on from you. Just let him know. Simple as that.
Yeah, they could have done it differently. It's a good point. It's a good point. We know he wears his emotions out there. All right, so we're going to talk more quarterbacks coming up because we're talking Lamar Jackson. His decision to play the waiting game with the Ravens is fascinating. Is it a wise move or should he cash in now? More Get Up coming up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So we're keeping it in football, but we're going to the AFC, or we're coming back to it. Lamar Jackson's going to be entering the 5th year of his rookie deal. And the biggest question this offseason will be his upcoming contract. What's up with the extension? On the Rich Eisen Show, head coach John Harbaugh explained why there hasn't been an extension for Lamar Jackson. Take a listen.
It's got to be a priority for both sides. We could do something. Or we can wait because we know it's going to get done. He doesn't have. He doesn't think he has to think about his contract. He thinks feels like he's got time to do it. And yeah, you could argue that one way or the other, but everybody gets to make that decision for themselves. That's a great thing. That's his choice, not somebody else's.
Okay, so it sounds like everybody's saying they got time. Lewis Riddick, what do you make of Lamar Jackson waiting on his extension at a time where everybody else is getting paid? It seems.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Lamar is thinking. I don't know what the end game is for him. I don't know if he's going to go ahead and play this year on that fifth-year option and collect his $23 million and then really try to break the bank in 2023. If I was his agent, I wouldn't advise him to do that. If I was his agent, I wouldn't advise him to step foot on the football field until he secures a long-term contract because he's going to be up there in the top 3 highest-paid quarterbacks, top 2 highest-paid quarterbacks, top 2 highest-paid people in the NFL regardless. I think Baltimore is willing to pay him that. You know, unless there's something I don't know about this. This really does sound like, look, Lamar has his time frame. He has his pace he wants to work at. He has his long-term goals, how he sees this all playing out, being that he's representing himself. And right now, look, Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome, and everyone else down there in Baltimore, they're really at Lamar's mercy because he does represent himself and he hasn't been, you know, that eager to come to the negotiating table at this point. So I think until he really speaks on what it is that he's looking for or why he is not right now really engaging in meaningful contract discussions and trying to hammer something out, until he speaks on that, we're just going to be left to, you know, to really speculate about it. But I'll tell you this, if I were him, I would not step foot on a football field until I signed a long-term contract. I would not play that bet on myself thing, given the nature of the way I play the game if I were him. I would not step foot on the field.
Wow. Lou, I'm looking at the graphic under you saying, should he play without an extension 2022? And it's just like, that's insane with knowing how much he depends on his legs. And just in terms of where they're at in their contract, every conversation I've had over the last few weeks, going back to even the owners' meetings down in Florida, was just, they are going to move at the pace that Lamar wants to move at. He claims that right now he's just focused on football. He doesn't want to be distracted. And we now know, I mean, we all know that his mother is his agent and advising him. He does have a team of advisors as well. But
right, like lawyers and
but his mom is a gigantic part of this process. And, you know, we've heard Mike Tannenbaum on the show say multiple times she should get agent of the year because she's showing patience. And every time, every day that goes by and we see another quarterback, less talented perhaps, or just another quarterback change the market, it's more money in the pocket of Lamar. I just think the question, though, Lou, and we don't know right now how much the Ravens are willing to pay, but you have to figure there's going to be some concerns when it comes to the number because of the fact that he uses his legs so much. Injury has to be a concern for this team. We're not talking about a traditional pocket passer.
Yeah, and what do you weigh in on this? Because Hembo sent me a stat, and I thought this was fascinating. Lamar's been contacted 821 times, passing and rushing, during his four-year career. The most by a mile in the NFL since 2018. Woody, I get the whole thing of trying to stay out and get as much money as you can, but does it make sense to wait out given the way he plays the game?
Well, listen, I think Lamar Jackson has handled this thing so far massively because the way I look at it is his floor is like $40 million. He's allowed all these other quarterbacks to sign their deals, and Lamar knows that I'm not coming in, you know, the minimum is 40, and that's going to be the starting point for him. But I'm going to echo what Lewis talked about. And I think, like, again, I'm going to say Lamar Jackson and his, you know, his team of people have done a great job. But, man, there's just no way I'm stepping on a football field, you know, whether it's OTA, minicamp, anything without a deal. I just worry, you know, the style of football he plays, the way the offense is catered around him. I just worry. All it takes is one time. One hit with the style of football that he plays, I just think that now's the time to strike if you're Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What do you do when you say now's the time to strike, but the other side and Lamar send the signals of, hey, I mean, I can wait. Are you thinking that they're actually trying to push something and have them negotiate against themselves?
Well, I just think it's a waiting game. I just think that, you know, the more time, you know, goes along and more quarterbacks sign their deals and things like that, the leverage just continues to fall on their side. I'm just of the belief that, listen, man, it's, you know, we've seen many quarterbacks now sign their deals and, you know, Lamar Jackson should know what his market is. Why put yourself at jeopardy knowing the style of football that you play without securing that deal before you step on a football field this upcoming season?
Yeah, indeed. He made it pretty clear. He doesn't want to play anywhere else. So there isn't concern here that maybe he's doing this because, you know, he wants to play in 2022 to move on. And, you know, he came out and tweeted about it, actually. I didn't think we were even having that conversation, but he said, Baltimore is where I want to be. And it just seems like from listening to the people in charge in Baltimore over the last few weeks and during press conferences that they're really just on Lamar Jackson's clock right now when he's ready.
Lewis, real quick, can you put up that graphic again, producers, of the top five quarterbacks so far, Rodgers and the others? Lewis, if you're – put us in the GM seat. What are you doing with Lamar's side at this point trying to get a deal done, seeing as though all these guys are already getting paid?
If I'm Lamar or if I'm the GM?
If you're the GM, yeah.
I'm figuring, look, he's, quite honestly, look, Woody said the floor is 40. Yeah, I'm probably figuring, look, the floor is really 45. That's really probably where he's thinking, and that's probably what I'm thinking. Ultimately, it's going to be 45 and above. And, you know, if you're Lamar Jackson, especially considering what he has meant to that football team, how he has been someone who has never had any off-field issues, how he's someone who they basically built their entire franchise around him. They changed everything for Lamar. Everything down in Baltimore is about Lamar. Then I think, you know, you're probably looking at 46, 47 a year, which comes in underneath Aaron Rodgers, so he's number two.
Wow, that's Patrick Mahomes' money or higher. All right, we're going to talk a lot more football, but first, basketball. Zion wowing the crowd pregame last night. This is a sign we may see the Pelicans star in a game very soon. We'll talk about that. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one for Wendy. Which NBA team owns the longest active streak of winning seasons? Wendy will answer when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching Get Up, presented by IHOP. All right, back with a little sneaky hembo time. This one's for Wendy. All right, Wendy, which NBA team owns the longest active streak of winning seasons?
You got it, Wendy. You got it.
Well, I considered the Boston Celtics, but then I remembered a team that won on the last day of the season to get to 42 wins, and that makes it sneaky. So my official guess is the LA Clippers.
Wow! You got it.
Yes.
That is correct. That is excellent.
You tried to sneak it, Hembo, at 42 and 40. You tried to sneak it in there.
Yeah. Take that, Hembo. That was great. I had no idea. I mean, that was a really good one. Yeah. All right. So score one for Wendy. All right. So how about a little eye candy? This is your reward, Wendy. Check this out. Sight for sore eyes. Before the Pelicans win over the Spurs last night, Zion dunking. And looking good doing it. Wendy, what's the latest on Zion? Because he looks pretty good in this dunk.
Okay, officially, he is out indefinitely. He is still not participating in full five-on-five with the team. He will not play against the Clippers tomorrow. And he was not they are not planning on playing him against the Suns. That is the official situation. If I could speculate, in the event that they extend a series with the Suns or somehow pull an upset, I think it enters the conversation. But officially, I have to say, he is out.
All right. Can I say something really quickly?
Yes.
What about watching that dunk makes you think that Zion Williamson is ready? Did you see the lack of explosion on the blow-by move? Blow-by move was like a senior citizen getting by a standing pull. There was nothing about it that looked low to the ground and explosive. And I get that the dunk looks incredible. I already know that Zion Williamson can do that. But I think the activity I want to see is on the perimeter, how dynamic that looks first.
My question is this. Do you remember Zion's rookie year?
Yeah.
When he finally came back toward the end of the season, Alvin Gentry was coaching him. I felt so sorry for Alvin because he's trying to hold on to his job and win games. Do you remember his minutes restriction?
Yeah.
He was playing 3 minutes at a time, right? So what is this minutes restriction going to be if he somehow gets injected into the middle of a series and he hasn't played all season? Year. Is he going to play like 90-second stretches? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do if that's what the minutes restriction was as a rookie.
But let me say this, and again, Brian, to your point, he's officially out indefinitely. This is just a possibility if, in fact, it ends up being close. Could that make a difference? Let's imagine the series is 2-2 with the Suns. They make it there. It's 3-3. What? Could those 3 minutes, those 10 minutes, those 15 minutes end up making a difference?
We just act like we can drop a player who hasn't played all year into a playoff caliber intensity game against the best team in basketball. And you're going to say, oh, it's going to make a world of a difference. I don't think they would do that to Zion, even though they would probably want to.
But I think he wants to play.
But it doesn't matter. You have to think long-term with this asset instead of short-term games.
I'm going to take this for what it is.
Okay.
What this is to me, it just represents hope. It's just great to see Zion Williamson doing something explosive on a basketball court. We went months this year without seeing him, without a single sighting, other than us speculating on, oh my goodness, how bad is this? How much weight did he gain? Like, that's all we were talking about. At least we're seeing this. To me, this is about hope for next season for their fan base. They're playing the best team in the NBA. They're not winning that series. They're not going to win the series. Do you really want to throw him out there for a few minutes? Now, no. I think all this does is represent to their fan base, hey, listen, he's coming along. Mm-hmm. Get ready for next year.
Okay, but as a fan, I see that, and I'm like, I want it now. As fans, we want it now. That's all we ever think of is now. So speaking of now, let's go to Philly, where the Sixers are preparing now for that first-round series against Toronto. All eyes on James Harden. Harden's facing enormous pressure after coming over in that midseason trade. So what about that pressure? Here's what Harden had to say when talking to the publication Complex. I don't have anything to prove. I don't have any pressure. I don't feel any of that. For me, it's going out there and playing my game, trying to help my team win. And Jay Will all of a sudden got a huge headache. He's rubbing his eyes. Oh, you want something? You okay? What do you think?
I don't have anything to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have everything to prove. You want to win a championship. And that's why we all play this game. And I get all the individual accolades. I get people saying that he's, and I'm one of these people, he's one of the most innovative offensive players I think the game of basketball has ever seen. But at the end of the day, James Harden has been so close to winning championships that this is probably one of his best opportunities to do so, playing alongside a guy that should be the MVP of the league, having a top 15 all-time coach on the sideline, having the right defensive schemes in place. There should be something for everybody to prove. And just saying that, that doesn't sound like the truth from James Harden.
Really?
I don't buy it.
I'm not buying it.
Disingenuous. He can look. He can put that forward for public consumption, make everybody think, man, this is, you're not going to affect me. This doesn't bother me. I'm good with who I am and where I'm at. The truth of the matter is, I don't believe that's where his mind is at when he's by himself. He has more to prove than any player in the postseason by a mile. And he knows that internally. What he should say, that's what people would say to me, well, what do you want him to say in that situation? Man, I feel all the pressure in the world. No. How about this? How about this? Yes, I do have a lot to prove because I haven't won a championship, and I want to be a champion. And I came here to help Joel Embiid win a championship. And I know this city has expectations. They haven't won here in 40 years. I'm here to help us try to do that. So, yes, I feel it, and I hope I can deliver on it. What's wrong with saying that? Acknowledge the fact, though, that people are looking at you and some of your past playoff performances, and you were brought here for one specific reason, to win, and they gave up a lot to get you. Just acknowledge that that exists, because when you take that attitude in a market like Philly, if you don't play well when you lose and that's how you approached it, they're never going to forget that.
Nope, they never will. Wendy, so Legs isn't buying it. Are you buying it?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Absolutely, because everything that James Harden has done for the last 3 years, he's felt no consequences for. I can't even tell you how disappointing the 2019 loss to the Warriors was in the playoffs. He shrugged his shoulders and blamed Chris Paul. The Rockets fell all over themselves to ship him out. He was unhappy in Houston, quit on that team, got what he wanted, traded to Brooklyn. Unhappy in Brooklyn, wanted to be traded to Philadelphia, traded to Philadelphia. This season, I don't care if he averages 5 points in this playoffs and they lose in four. He's going to get a $200 million contract. He knows that. So, I mean, does he want to do well? Yeah. Does he want to win a championship? Yeah. Does he feel a pressure of what happens when he doesn't? I believe he's telling the truth when he says no. Look at his first act as a 76er. Do you even know what it was? He agreed to pick up his player option. But then he just said, you know what? I know I agreed to it, but I'm not gonna. And they were just like, okay, we'll see at the first game. I mean, he lives, he has, I guess, earned it, so more power to him, but I believe him when he says he has no pressure.
So Wendy's making a point that, like, his personality type is, he doesn't really care ultimately, right? He's good with who he is and he's secure. My point is this, if he doesn't feel the pressure that he's trying to act like he doesn't, then why has he had some of the moments he's had in the postseason? Why has he played that way in very important moments? Because he feels the pressure. Yeah. And so for him to say, I don't feel any, yeah, maybe sitting there answering that question he doesn't, but what's going to happen when he's in a series-defining moment and it's 2-2 and you're at home in game five against Toronto in a tight game in the fourth quarter? You going to feel it then? He's felt it in the past. So I think he's going to feel it again in a way that he's never experienced.
He's going to go to Fashion Week and sign his $200 million deal.
Exactly. Hey, yeah. But I can say this.
Wow.
He'll get his money.
Yeah, no doubt.
But there'll always be an untapped potential that we'll talk about as it relates to James Harden. There's certain players that sometimes you see in life where you're like, he has it, but he couldn't find it. And I feel like that's something that's looming around James Harden.
Okay, but then here's the problem. Everybody here is like, he'll get his money. He'll get his money. Let me tell you something. They wanted me to ask, how quickly will Philly fans turn on him? I'm a Philly fan. is like 2 seconds, and it never changes, and they will never come back from that. So given all that, shouldn't there be some sense of urgency with him of like, I'm going to get that money, got to tell everybody that this is the biggest moment in my life.
You mortgage your whole team to get him. Mm-hmm. Your whole team to get him, essentially. Like, you're not going to just let go after mortgaging the first pick in NBA draft and your ancillary pieces, Seth Curry, DeAndre Drummond, picks. You're not going to do that and say, walk away for free.
Having lived there as long as I have, there's two things Philadelphia fans will not forgive. They will forgive bad performances.
Yep.
Two things they will not forgive. Show me fear. That's why Ben Simmons had to be moved. And show me a laissez-faire, I don't really care what just happened attitude when you come up short. You do either of those two things, they're never going to get over it. And they're going to wait for the next time they see it, and they're going to pounce in a way that makes it really untenable to stay there. That's why I said tonight, Ben Simmons, after that game against Atlanta, before the shower was over, he knew I can't play here again because they're never going to forget what they just witnessed. It's the same thing here. Look, they'll forgive James Harden if he doesn't play well. Mm-hmm. They will not forgive him if he acts like, hey, man, I'm good anyway.
Yeah.
That's what they can't have. They want you to die for a win the way that their fan base does. That's all they really want in Philly.
And I tell people all the time, you're spot on. It's not fair, but that's the way it is in Philly. All right, so let's stay in the East, okay? Because there's a big matchup, Nets-Celtics. Wendy, you have an important piece of news on that Nets-Celtics series. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so after weeks of hearing pessimism about Ben Simmons, I'm told that the target is games 4, 5, or 6 for him to make his debut with the Brooklyn Nets, that the hope is that he will be able to ramp up his workouts and start doing 5-on-5 scrimmaging within the next few days. And if there's no setbacks, there is optimism he is going to play in this series. Now, what role will he play? How many minutes? We'll see. But Steve Nash has already said they do not fear bringing him in and having him play for the first time all year in the playoffs. And I am telling you, I am being told that that is indeed the plan in this upcoming series.
Jay Will, what do you think? Can he have an impact?
It disrupts everything that Brooklyn has been able to do. Think about this. Kyrie Irving has found a lot of rhythm having the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. You know who their backup point guard is? The third most important player on their team, that's Bruce Brown. He has the ball in his hands as well. So he gets him into their sets. Now you bring Ben Simmons. All of a sudden we're asking a guy who hasn't played basketball in a year, who has a bulging disc in his back, even though he's progressing, hey, be a great defensive player. And by the way, what's been the one thing we've always talked about as it relates to Ben Simmons? His lack of ability to shoot, the mental state of mind. You're telling me you're going to drop him in game 4 or game 5 of a playoff series against the Boston Celtics and Ime Udoka, and they're not going to focus on that and utilize that and try to exploit that and see what kind of person he's going to be when he hasn't played one full game with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this year? That's a huge ask.
But on defense, this Nets team is terrible. Can't they just use him?
Have you ever hurt your back?
Yeah, I've hurt my back.
Have you ever tried to stay down in a defensive stance and be athletic after coming back off a back injury?
I literally just laid in bed.
Here's the thing, offensively, I think what would happen if he does play offensively, it's still going to be any sort of walk-up or half-court possession. It's going to be Kyrie and KD handle the ball. He can still probably take it off the glass and go. The problem is this, Ryan, even for a passer only, timing and rhythm matter, and you've had none of it. So your passes are going to get deflected. They're going to be late on a cut. He's not going to be out there carving you up with his playmaking ability. So the focus is, can he, for 10, 12, 15 minutes a game, make life a little bit more miserable for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Can he do that for 10, 12 minutes, playing 4-minute stretches? Yes, I think that's a better alternative than who the Nets have to put in front of those guys. And if you ask Jason Tatum, he'd probably say, yeah, I'd much prefer these other guys they've been playing than seeing a 6'10 guy that's got lateral quickness and length. So, but is it enough to sway the series for the Nets? Now, he thinks the Nets are winning even if he doesn't see the court.
Oh, okay.
I've picked Boston. So I guess he thinks that Ben would just help them, you know, solidify that. Mm-hmm. But I think even if he plays, Boston wins the series. I don't think it's enough to sway it.
Wendy, real quick, what are they looking at in terms of managing Ben Simmons? I know you said just a couple minutes, 10, 15 minutes. But how are they going to integrate him in this team after him not even playing with them, much less playing at all in the last year?
I don't know. This is something I've never seen before. But I will say that when you watch the Nets play, they often have these stretches of 5-7 minutes where their defense just collapses, and it's the reason why they're a 500 team instead of a two seed like the Celtics. So if he is able to help plug that hole a little bit, and we think this is a tight series, we think this is 6 or 7, that's an influx that could potentially be a difference maker.
Wow. I tell you what, if all this doesn't get you fired up for the NBA right now, I don't know what
does. The one question I have for this whole series, how do people evaluate Steve Nash's in-game adjustments?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be critical to watch from a head coaching perspective.
Good point. Great job, guys. Thank you so much. Excellent, excellent work. All right. The play-in tournament continues with the East 8 seed game tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern. The Cavs play in the Hawks, who blew out the Hornets last night. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. The loser goes home. The winner gets Miami in the first round series that starts Sunday afternoon. Well, coming up, the Raiders haven't won a Super Bowl in 39 years. So is Derek Carr the quarterback that can change that? Why Vegas is making a big bet on him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by IHOP. All right, let's do some Chronicles of Riddick. Lewis Riddick is with us, and it's time for the Chronicles. So, Lewis, let's get your thoughts from around the league, starting in New England, where they haven't named an offensive coordinator yet.
Yeah, and the reason why this is newsworthy and something to keep an eye on is because of how this affects the continuing development of second-year quarterback Mac Jones, and what kind of relationship is he going to have with who ultimately is going to be the guy who's going to be in the meeting room with him, be on the headset with him during games, and what kind of relationship does he have with that guy? There's no question that Josh McDaniels played a vital role in Mac Jones having a nice, steady progression throughout his rookie season, and Bill cannot disrupt that heading into year two, where you would expect Mac to make a big jump. So that is going to be something very, very important to watch. As far as Aaron Donald is concerned, look, you know he's in for a contract extension. He's in for a new deal. And this is a guy who, as you see here in this video, he has not slowed down one bit. I mean, look at the feet on this dude. Look, I'm not even going to mention the fact of where he went to school. We already know that. We already know what facility he's working out in. But this is a guy who you know has to be the highest paid player in the NFL from a defensive perspective. He has to eclipse T.J. Watt's $28 million per year. He has to be up there around $30 per year on a new deal. He's earned it. He's deserved it. He's going to go down in history as one of the very best ever to play the game defensively. And then as far as Derek Carr is concerned, look, I've been a supporter of his from day one out there when he was in Oakland. Now that they're in Las Vegas, I think this football team is set up right now to really succeed on offense, provided that the offensive line is able to continue to progress and make some progression and make some developmental progression as far as being run blockers and pass blockers. I think Josh McDaniels will really go ahead and develop the running game in order to supplement the passing game and take some of the pressure off of Derek Carr, who has some nice weapons to play with this year. I think Vegas will be in contention for a playoff spot, and they will challenge for the AFC West title, although it will not be easy.
Okay, definitely won't be easy. And Derek Carr, of course, one of the many high-paid quarterbacks in that AFC West. So let's stick in that division and bring it to Russell Wilson. You know, he's the face of the Broncos right now in the AFC West. And so, Lewis, given the fact that he wanted to get in this position, last year I remember everybody talking about how the Broncos are just a quarterback away from making it all the way, from being a Super Bowl team. How much pressure is on Wilson to turn this Denver team around and bring them to the promised land?
Well, I think, like I said before, I'm gonna use the word expectations even more so than pressure. I think it is expected that he is the difference maker now. That's why you trade away multiple draft picks in order to make this kind of deal. That's why you, quote-unquote, mortgage some of your future ability to acquire cheaper talent via the draft. to bring in a quarterback like this who you feel as though is a quote-unquote force multiplier, a guy who makes everyone else better, that gives you a chance to win those games that you didn't have a chance to win before when Drew Locke was the quarterback or when Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback or anyone else that they trotted out there. He needs to be the difference. That's the expectation now. I don't think there's going to be anyone who's going to want to give them any kind of leeway simply because he's coming to a new football team. They have a new coach. They need to get on the same. He needs to get on the same page with a very green group of wide receivers, relatively speaking. There aren't going to be any. That's not how the NFL works. The NFL expects instant results. And in a division as tough as the AFC West, they better be up to speed very, very quickly.
What do you think?
I mean, I understand why the expectations are high, but when you look at that division, any division with Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, that's a lot of competition. You're talking about a really good group here. And yes, I get that Denver has the expectation they need to win now. This is why they traded for him. Russell Wilson wanted out in Seattle. He looks energized. He looks happier. He looks refreshed. You have a first-year head coach here. I think we all need to just give them a beat to get in sync and figure it out. Do I think they're going to have success? Yes, but it may not be the success that we're all expecting when we heard this deal was
done. So the pressure's on, but you don't think they'll have the success, or you think the pressure is not on?
No, I think the pressure is on to a point. I think the pressure that Lewis Riddick is putting on Russell Wilson and this Denver Broncos team is a little extreme and is asking a lot, Lou. I think they need to at least have a season to adjust. He's been playing in Seattle for how many seasons? This is going to be a lot of change for him. And, yeah, would we like to see them go right to the Super Bowl the first year and say, oh, wow, look at that. Tom Brady did it with Bruce Arians in his first year, too. Woo, see, it could happen. I still think they're going to need a minute.
All right, Woody, jump in, and then, Lewis, I want you to respond. Because Lewis is not feeling that.
Listen, the NFL waits for no one. Like, I just go back to, if you're the Denver Broncos, man, we've been talking about this roster for I don't know how long, how they have the defense. They got the weapons. The only thing they've been missing is the quarterback. And remember, this is what Russell Wilson chose. This man had a no-trade clause. He opted out of that no-trade clause because he wanted to go to the Denver Broncos. And you don't think that there's pressure to go out there and win a Super Bowl this year? I mean, listen, we've seen this kind of story play out before with the Denver Broncos. When Peyton Manning came to the Denver Broncos, took that organization to two Super Bowls, winning one. They expect to be a Super Bowl contender this year, regardless of first-year head coach, new quarterback, all those things. That's what it is. That's the expectation. The bar is set high for the Denver Broncos.
All right, there you have it. And, Lewis, I know you wanted to get the last word, but your face is saying it all.
No, it's good.
You do not disagree. That pressure is on. I got to go to break, guys, but great segment right there. Got a lot coming up, including this man right there, Zion. Basketball first take. I'll tell you what, they're going to be talking about it. Molly, Jay Williams, Tim Legler talking Zion and all things NBA on First Take right after Get Up at the top of the hour. Get Up is presented by IHOP. Join the new rewards program today and start earning free food. Well, here are three featured upcoming NHL matchups tonight. ESPN Hockey Night is in Dallas for the Wild and Stars at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Our ABC Saturday Hockey Matinee has the Blues hosting the Wilds at 3 Eastern, 2 Central. And Sunday afternoon, the Panthers take on the Red Wings at 1 Eastern on ESPN. All three are available on the ESPN app. But thank you so much for joining us. Have yourself a wonderful day. And First Take starts right now. We'll see you next time.